I have coined for you, you are now outgrown that name. You have outgrown that name because you don't need a permanent injection. I think we see we'll see from your report, it will tell us whether indeed we need to reconsider that. Only you and I and the Deputy Minister knows what you're talking about. The Land Bank Chairperson, Mr. Van Schalkwyk, yes, we are very much pleased to receive you as in this joint sitting of committees. It indicates the keen interest from the side of Parliament when other institutions complain that they are orphaned. You are over-parented. That's the extent to which Parliament has got interest in your work. That is why you see us in numbers here, three chairpersons at a go. But hopefully, this arrangement does not give you a headache. If it does, we'll have to attend to that very quickly, so that we don't allow you to spend a lot of time shuttling between here and your offices, sending documents in all directions, instead of focusing on the work that you're supposed to focus on, and the board may take a different view about your work, not knowing that you have been pulled this way and that way. Having said so, Deputy Minister, you are welcome. We're looking forward to interact with your submission. And definitely, we'll listen very much attentively, because Land Bank is at the heart of rural economic development strategy for this government. It is very, very close. It's like local government in terms of spheres of government. If you speak of rural economies, you speak about the viability of municipalities, and therefore the kind of economic interventions you make are very, very, very much central to the lives of ordinary people in South Africa. The most downtrodden, people living in the far-flung areas of our country. So we want to take this opportunity to hand over to Deputy Minister to lead us in how you are going to structure your presentation. I'll be co-chairing with my colleagues here from time to time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and Co-Chair of Agriculture and the Select Committee on Finance. It is my singular honor to come to your committee with the purpose of fulfilling our legal obligation in terms of our Public Finance Management Act. In the spirit and in the interest of accountability, the bank, as a rural and agricultural development finance institution, has a responsibility to finance efforts to increase access to land, provide support for historically disadvantaged individuals in the agricultural sector, and to raise rural incomes. This bank is therefore a government tool that is supposed to alleviate the incidence of poverty in rural areas, as you have also indicated, Chairperson. Unfortunately, we all agree that this institution should have done better. and as a result of not having done better. The bank has been in the news for the wrong reason. If we look at our report, we find that the comment of the Auditor General about the bank in 2007/8, the Auditor General agrees with us that there were issues that needed to be addressed. Perhaps let me mention a few of those that he raised. He raised the issue of poor controlled environment. The second one was the lack of appropriate risk management policies. The third being poor control systems and the absence of poor monitoring systems. Therefore, the basis for the qualified opinion was due to the fact that the bank experienced a significant breakdown in internal controls, as reflected on what the AG said. This was not the first time the Land Bank had a qualified opinion. It had taken place 6 times during its 6 years. The transfer of the bank to the National Treasury meant that our priority was to stabilize the bank. Stabilizing the bank, chairpersons and members of the committees, meant cleaning up the institution of all the legacies that had led to the qualifications of the previous 6 years. National Treasury had to approve the turnaround strategy to deal with all legacies, which we did. As I'm speaking to these committees today, it is with pleasure that I report that the first stage of the long walk that is essential for the sustainability of the bank has been achieved. Unqualified audit report, which shows improving control systems and financial performance. While in some institutions this is no major achievement, as they are expected to have an unqualified audit report. For the Land Bank, it took 7 years to achieve it. Hence, we are excited. The annual report that we're tabling here in Parliament today illustrates that the bank is now enjoying prudent risk management measures, good control systems, appropriate monitoring systems, and proper control environment. The question that one has to ask is whether the bank has normalized its business operations and has turned the corner. The presentation here today will indicate that while a lot has been achieved, the bank is still facing a number of challenges. The presentation will show that while the largest majority of these challenges are legacy in nature, they still have a direct impact on the day-to-day operations of the bank and have a great influence on how the bank is perceived. It is these challenges that tend to dominate the media space on the Land Bank. It is also these challenges that sometimes relegate the bank achievements into insignificant peripheral space. The presentation today will illustrate, chairpersons, that the Land Bank has adopted a number of approaches to deal with these challenges, and I'm confident that we're going to succeed. Chief among the issues that we are prioritizing is the issue of improving the role of the historical disadvantaged individuals in the agricultural and rural development sector, and concluding the forensic investigations that are going on at the bank. Regarding the strategy to improve the role of the bank, of the black farmers in the agricultural sector, chairperson, I'm happy to report that the Ministers of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery, Rural Development and Land Reform, Minister of Finance and myself have done quite a lot of work in this regard, and we will be reporting to Parliament in the near future on this work that we have done. We see this as a rural development strategy, a strategy that the government has been building with, that has been battling with in the past 15 years. The presentation will also touch on the in-principle approach that we have adopted. Regarding the reports on forensic investigations that have taken place at the bank, we do note that the pace of completing these issues has not met our expectations. We have brought in people to this house that are involved in these investigations to bring light to the development. I'd like to inform the house that while these individuals will be in a position to provide more information on forensics, we would be careful that we do not jeopardize their investigation by divulging too much. And I trust that I will have the cooperation of the committee. We hope that after this discussion, this house will join us in appreciating the amount of work that has been done so far. In conclusion, Chair, I will be the first to admit that while a lot has been done, as I indicated earlier, there still lies a lot of challenges ahead of us. In short, while the bank is out of the ICU, we are still in the ward. They would call it the recuperation ward, with all our belongings nicely packed, waiting for doctors to discharge us. Chairperson, please allow me to ask the chief executive of the land bank, Mr. Hadebe. The name that the chairperson spoke about has completely been erased from his ID. To make this presentation before we can have an open discussion, and I assume that members of the committee have read the annual report, and they have therefore requested Mr. Hadebe to cover the important areas of the annual report which he wants to bring to attention. I do not want to undermine the integrity of the members by going through the entire report. It is a big document, but I know members have diligently gone through this, and perhaps if members were given an opportunity, they would have just preferred that we just allow members to ask questions without us going through. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for making time amongst you, and I hope that we will have a constructive engagement that would assist us in going forward to fulfill our mandate. Thank you, Chair. From National Treasury, we have one official in the interest of belt tightening to defend the radicality as a bet. You want to indicate where you are? And the rest of the team will be introduced by, the team from the land bank will be introduced by the acting chairperson, Mr. Van Skalvik. Chair, with your permission, can I request that Mr. Van Skalvik introduces his team, and then the chief executive will take you through the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The team from the land bank is myself, as the acting chair, that has been mentioned. Mr. Khadebe, the CEO, and then on his right-hand side, Mr. Lebogang Seriti, the Group Operations and Investment Officer, and then here at the back, we have Mr. Wolf Meyer, who is the CFO, and next to him, Delani Lambrecht, who is the Head of the Project Office, mainly involved with the cleanup of the bank. And then next to Mr. Wolf Meyer, we have Mr. Billy Hofmeyer. He's the head of special investigating unit and also the head of the asset forfeiture unit. Then next to me on the left here is Tim Bahazi Bukhali, the deputy director of public prosecution. She's also the project leader of the Mafisa and IT cases in terms of the land bank. Thank you very much.
But I just say that they look much nicer here than they look in the pictures that I've reported.
I guess you have done the introduction, but I sense that it's also the departmental representatives here. You're going to deal with that CEO. Okay. And maybe just for clarity on our side, I do know that you would not have achieved this progress that has been talked about if you were averse to technology. Are you going to use this thing behind us so that we can reposition ourselves? Okay.
Thank you so much, sir. We also have the representatives from the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fishery and Forest. It's the DDT, Ms. DDT. Thank you. And the CEO, the CFO of Agriculture Department is Johan. And they have their own team. Chairman, thank you so much for the time that you have afforded us today. We thank you because we know that you have a busy schedule. Now, Chair, we came here about 6 months back. That was 5 months back, sorry. And we made a number of promises. We said we had a turnaround strategy, and we had a targeted number, and we said we were in line. We have now since received the annual report, and we'd like to present it. But over and above that, we felt that because the annual report goes until the end of March, 31st March, there has been more than 6 months since the annual report, and we felt it appropriate that we then provide a snapshot of the presentation of the performance of the land bank during the past 6 months. We also felt it's important that we bring in the people that are involved in the forensics of the land bank, because during the past 2 years, during the past 14, 16 months, we have been here and we have presented our case, and we have made quite a number of promises. And we feel that maybe the people will be able to provide an in-depth analysis of the achievements that have been made, of the challenges going forward, should present themselves here. And we thank them for making time to be here. We did note the issues that were raised by the committees in the previous meeting here, and we will also try to respond on those and show the developments as to what has happened. Without further ado, the Deputy Minister will start presenting, and the Chairman of the Board. We're going to talk firstly about the turnaround strategy. Previously, we had a detailed analysis of what entails. This time, we have one slide that will show how it operates. Then, immediately thereafter, we will then go to the results of the turnaround strategy, both operationally and financially. Then we'll go to the financial performance since the 31st of March, that is the performance to the end of September. As the Deputy Minister has indicated, while we are happy about the progress that has been achieved, but there are important critical legacy issues that affect the operation of the land bank on a daily basis that we would like to discuss, just to indicate what mitigation measures have we adopted to deal with those issues. Those are the forensic investigations, which we will request the people here with us to provide a more in-depth analysis on. We will also talk about the issue of the distressed developing farmers. Members of the committee will note that in a previous meeting, this was discussed in detail. We'll talk about interest claims, an issue that the CFO is running and an issue that's been in the media for some time. And we'll talk again about the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the amount that we have noted in our budget and what are we doing about that. Thank you. In the nutshell, Chairperson, the turnaround strategy started in September 2008, so it's almost about 14 months down the line. And we are expecting that the turnaround strategy will be finished or will be completed by the end of this financial year, that is, at the end of March 2010. There are two important things that we've been doing in this process during the period of September to now. The first thing is the red dotted line, and that is the cleanup. That deals with the legal issues, the qualifications, the audit issues, But over and above that, it also deals with the things that should be taken out from the system. Bring about control systems. Then you have the second one, again, that goes up until the end of this financial year, which we call stabilization. We need, while we're cleaning up this bank, we needed to stabilize it. The bank had to proceed, you know, and the business had to proceed. Stabilizing the bank, it meant dealing with operational issues, such as human HR capacity, getting the right people. It also meant enhancing and improving the financial position of the bank. That has been done. So as we are in November here, the strategy indicates that we should be concentrating, for the first time, we should be concentrating on the green curve. And the green curve is the sustainability curve. That's the curve that assumes that the bank has normalized and it continues with its own operation, just like any other institution. We hope that at the end of this financial year, when you come to present again the annual report, it will be the last time we're using this term. And the question was asked in the previous meeting as to whether we are comfortable that the turnaround strategy will achieve its objective and it will ensure sustainability. And we think the numbers here today would indicate that we are in the right track. But again, as the minister has indicated, there are challenges that still lie ahead. It's not new challenges, it's challenges that have been building at the land bank during the past 6 years or so. Now, the results of the turnaround. We have already spoken about the cleanup, the stabilization, and sustainability. The cleanup covers the audit report, the qualifications, 7 qualifications, and it dealt with other matters, the recurring fund matters. We dealt with the management letters of the auditors, that was 185 pages. We dealt with scope of resolution and the portfolio committee undertakings, because there were things that the committee had said we should undertake. We dealt with the government guarantee and the conditions, and we dealt with the forensic investigations. The forensic investigations will be discussed later. I'll start with the audit report. With the qualifications. There were 7 qualifications, starting with the LDS loans, the valuation of those. The land bank last year could not value the LDFU loans. LDFU, through you, Chair, are the golf estates. Those projects that are outside the market. We're able to value them, to evaluate them, and that was addressed. Then there was an issue of non-compliance with the mandate. We've been trying to unlock the position on the LGFU or unwinding the position, that is to sell the properties that are in the portfolio. But we still have them. But because we still have them in the book, they have moved from the qualification to other matters. We're able to indicate to the Auditor General all the amount of work that we've put in dealing with this issue. Then there was a third qualification, the IT. Cost capitalization. I will remind the members of the committee here that on the IT, there's still a forensic that is ongoing, and we'll report about that later. But what is important is for this year, we're able to put a plan as to where we're going with the IT, and also to ensure that all the issues that came up that were of dubious in nature are dealt with. We haven't completed this, but there's work in progress. The procurement and payments was a qualification. The auditors felt that we didn't have control systems. We proved to them that we now have this. The payroll, again, it was control system, as the Deputy Minister has indicated. We also indicated that we have dealt with it. Funds under administration, that is where in the past 3 years or so, corruption took place, that is Mafisa, that is Agri-BEE. We are putting systems in ensuring that we have proper control systems. This year we did not disperse any of this to individuals, but we dispersed to the Department of Agriculture, Department Development Finance Institution. We're working with the department to enhance and improve the administration and the control. Then there was an issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which started a year before at 42 million rand. It came down last year to 16 million rand. This move from qualification to emphasis of matter. Chair, I will request, that I discuss this later again. Could we just go back to the slide before? So, in a nutshell, on the cleanup, we have dealt with the qualification. We also dealt with the other matters. All 12 of the other matters were concluded, and the Auditor General highlighted that, as is reflected in the annual report. We dealt with the management letters, 185 pages. We think we did about 85-90% of those. Scope of resolutions, there were about four on the credit policy, on impairment modeling and all related issues. Again, we dealt with those things. And the issues that have been raised by two committees that have to do with the turnaround strategy of the bank, the plan going forward, how we're going to deal with it, try to enhance and improve the development, size of development of our loans. Let us discuss later, but we dealt with them. The government guarantee, the government had listed a number of conditions we had to make. At that time, the guarantee was 1 billion. Amongst those was an appropriate or prudent turnaround strategy, sustenance financially, and quarterly reports. We provided that, and when the National Treasury, representing government, was able to progress achieved, they announced a guarantee of 3.5 billion, of which in the MTPPS we were told or we were informed that a billion of that guarantee may be converted into cash. We're still awaiting the results on that. The forensic investigations, we came here and we presented and we set the authorities on top of the issues. They are here today, they'll be able to explain. Then this is a story on the cleanup, which means that we are, which indicates a great deal of interest and achievements that have been made as far. Could you let go to stabilization? Regarding the second one, on the turnaround strategy, which is stabilization, we have set up 6 things to achieve, and it is in the annual report. Improve, the first one was improve staff capacity. When we came here, out of the 9 senior positions, we had about 4 at the time, 4 or 5. At the beginning of the financial year, out of the 9 senior positions, there were only 3 that were permanent. It was a GM, HR, it was GM, marketing and communication, and it was GM, legal. Now, the acting positions was myself as an interim CEO, there was an acting CFO, there was an acting treasurer, there was an acting credit, there was an acting risk, there was an acting operations. Now, these are core business areas of the bank. And we are happy to say that out of all those 9 positions, we have filled 8. And the last one will be occupied on the 16th of November this year. A person will be joining. We then identified 65 critical positions, 68, sorry, critical positions. Out of those, we have been able to fill about 62. That, of course, has had a positive ramble effect on the efficiency of the bank and the turnaround. We are at least moving. But it's not about appointing. It's about getting the people appropriate skills and appropriate experience. That was lacking at the bank. It struggled for some time. For 2-3 years, the bank could not attract the people. I think with the improving story, we are beginning to see people coming in. With IT, it was not clear whether the land bank, after spending 140 million on SEP, still had to proceed with SEP, or we needed a new system. We got the IT experts who started as consultants, now they are on contract, semi-permanent for another 2 years, and we came to the conclusion that SEP was still the best option. But over and above that, we ensure that the PeopleSoft system that we're using is efficient, and that where we need systems, especially on banking, we have a manual system. And the Auditor General was happy about the progress that's been achieved on that. So with regard to the IT system, we know where we're going, we have a plan, and we think that in 2 years' time we have a fully-fledged banking system. But in the meantime, we have the PeopleSoft system that is operating. With regard to HR staff and finance staff, we are already using it. Then the third issue that we needed to deal with was the funding dynamics, liquidity. Now, with all the things that were taking place with the land bank, of course the investors were no longer prepared to invest their money at the bank. Now, if the investors do not invest at the bank, then the bank can only lend. At some stage, the bank was only sitting with about 300 million cash. And this is too small for the size of the land bank. But we managed to go and talk to the investors, show them the turnaround strategy, and begin to indicate the achievements that have been made over a period of time. And by the end of the financial year, that had grown from about 300 million to 4 billion rand. But that was a task too big for the size of the land bank, but we'll talk about it later. So the funding issue, liquidity issue at the land bank is no longer an issue because the investors are coming and the numbers continue to grow. The fourth one was the balance sheet. In the past 14, 15 years, the balance sheet of the land bank has been deteriorated. In the past 5 years, it deteriorated by even a bigger percentage. We needed to ensure that it stabilizes and it grows. And the best way to deal with this was to look at the component of non-performing level of our book. We identified three biggest non-performing loans. The first one, we did very well. As a land bank, we managed to get more than 500. The second one, unfortunately, there's very little we can do since we cannot resuscitate it. We're looking at options as to how we can deal with it. The third one was the Land for Development Finance Unit, the LDFU. On the LDFU, we managed to raise the total book of about 500 million or so. Those are both assets. We managed to raise about 14 million. We had about two guarantees that amount to about 100 million, but one of them seems to be withdrawing. But the situation in the market is such that it's very, very difficult to get 300 million or 100 million. We were planning that, on our plan, we were hoping that the LDFU would be out of our book at the end of the next financial year. But it seems as if until the market make a turn, we will have to keep it. And we have added another 2 years. Now, that means that for the next 2 years or so, 2-3 years, this will remain as the other matter in our annual report. Then there's cost to income. When we here, we indicated that the cost to income was very high. But it's not that it's high. It depends on what are the components of that cost to income. And the biggest was sponsoring. You know, we had a golf day that was costing us money. We had sponsored in all rugby stadiums in South Africa, it was costing us money. We were teaching people golf and we were paying 2.3 million a year. You can go on and on. Those were able to cut, and we managed to bring down the cost to income ratio. But you will see that as we begin to employ more people now, the cost to income has increased, but the quality is totally different. So, in a nutshell, when it comes to stabilization, which is covered from page 22 to page 40 of the annual report, we have met all targets, maybe except the LDFU, where the market conditions did not permit us to achieve that. I think in our corporate plan, we had achieved about 50% by the end of this year, and we are far from that. Now, then the third one is sustainability. The book can only be sustainable. Land bank can only be sustainable on two grounds. One is the ability of the bank to once again attract clients. Clients have confidence in the bank and they borrow money from the bank. The second one is development, which we discussed when we were here. That is the core function of the land bank as a DFI. But unfortunately, there's very little that has happened in that front, and it was discussed in detail when we were here. Could we first talk about the book? Could you go back? For ease of reference, the page numbers on the annual report is page 30, and development, the detailed analysis starts from page 34 to 35. Now, it doesn't look that good. But if you follow what has happened at the land bank during the past 8-10 years or so, it indicates a story, a positive story. And that is, the book has begun to stabilize. Because if you put this book in the past 3 years, it was 17 billion. It was dropping by 25% annually. So it has, to a certain extent, stabilized. But you will note that from August this year, there's a small decrease, which is also reflected in September. That is because one of the biggest non-performing loans, second, so the book depreciated or decreased. But as we talk now, we have entered the rainy season. And we've been going around South Africa talking to all the farmers, developing, commercial, indicating that the situation has changed in the land bank. And we are sure that with the approvals that have been made, by the end of this December, the book will show a far better improvement than what we are showing here. It's a seasonal book primarily, and we are approving quite a number of loans. Could we proceed? Then, this is the development side. There was an agreement entered into with the National Treasury and with government that the land bank will have to put on the strategy and the policy on development. But over and above that, how do we change the balance sheet to allow the land bank to own land to the developing farmers more than what it has done? These are the targets that we put in. This year, 450 million. 2011, 1.1. 2012, 1.7. Within 3 years, we're putting a figure of 3.3 billion. A lot has happened since then. There have been a lot of discussions, as the Deputy Minister indicated, between the Minister of Finance, the Deputy Minister of Finance, Minister of Agriculture, and Minister of Rural Development. It became apparent that the biggest problem that the land bank / government is facing is not just dispersing money, it's a strategy of how we deal with the emerging farmers. Let me make an example, Chairperson. The Strauss report, which informed the Land Bank Act, highlighted that the land bank was supposed to go not just to the commercial side of the market, but also to deal with the emerging, that's the term they use, farmers that are coming in. It further stated that for the land bank to be able to go there, government will have to provide some kind of funding, / guarantees, / collateral that will lessen the pressures, the risk pressures from the land bank. But when the act was put in after the Strauss report, that part was not included. The end result is that the land bank has continued to complain that we have a high non-performing loan on emerging farmers, we don't have the skill on agriculture or skills to raise the finance. The interaction between the minister, deputy minister, and the three ministers is bearing fruit, which is something we will talk about. And it's something that we should have had some time back. Like the deputy minister indicated, it's no longer dealing about the black farmers that are under duress, but it puts in a rural development strategy that will have a government playing a role and the land bank playing a role. We'll be coming to that. But what we're saying is, as we talk now on development, the pipeline project is about 643 million that we are talking to the people. Could we proceed? Now, that was a turnaround strategy and what it has achieved. But, Deputy Minister, the taste is in the pudding. What has happened on the financial side? Are we moving positive or moving negative? And we're here to indicate that. Like I've already indicated, we'll take this to 6 months. That is up until the end of September. The group profit for this year was 166 million against the group profit in 08 of 17.5 million. Could I highlight that that group profit of 17.5 million was due to the profits that had been made by the Land Bank Insurance Company on its investment? As you can see, that profit from a banking operation in 08 was 241 million. The year before, the bank itself, the Land Bank, if you take out the insurance company, had made losses of 20 million. Profits from continuing operations exclude LDFU, because LDFU is discontinued now. We made a profit of 369 million against 219 the year before. Cost to income, we spoke about that. But again, the efforts that we put in had a great impact on the net cash position. The net cash was 3.5 billion against the 800 million that had been achieved the year before. Capital adequacy at the end of March was sitting at 23% against the target of 20%. The target, again, I've explained, is an agreement between the National Treasury and the Land Bank that for the Land Bank to go to development, it has to improve its capital adequacy. Okay. Now, what do we have? We have 3 years. The one on the left is year to date, that was September. Then we have a full year, end of March, and we have end of May. Net interest income is at 205 as at the end of September, which was 617 at the end of the financial year. Looking at 6 months that we have covered, it therefore means that maybe the interest income will not be at the level we had at the end of the financial year. But needless to say, it's still far better than what we had at the end of 08. The impairment. In 08, we impaired 112 million. At the end of the financial year, we wrote back 114, and at the end of September, we wrote back over 72 million, which means we're improving the collections. We continue to improve the collections. Thank you. That's strong enough. Non-interest income has improved again to 25. So we've done well on non-interest income this year. In 6 months' time, we are closer to what we achieved last year and the year before. Income from banking activities, therefore, is 302, not too far from what we achieved last year, better than what was achieved the year before. But what is important that maybe I will request the members to look into has to be the operating expenses. You will see that the operating expenses in 6 months' time have grown to 203 against 269 that was achieved at the end of the financial year. It's because, amongst other things, we are beginning to appoint more people. That is net operating income, that is not that important, but in net cash, we had a net profit at the end of the financial year of 241, and what we have achieved in the 6 months' time is 119 million. Now, this is not cast in stone. There are still a number of factors that will come in as we move towards the end of the year. The market conditions might change. The interest issues that have been coming up might have an impact, which we'll discuss later. the medical aid issues might come in. So this is not a close, this is not maybe the number that we should use as a benchmark for the end of the fiscal year. There are a number of things that are coming in. But needless to say that in 6 months' time, holding all other things constant, the land bank continues to do well. This is the cost to income. When we managed to bring it down to 55, there were other factors that came in, such as interest claims, but primarily appointment of new people. This has taken up to 88, but we expect it to come down a bit by the end of this financial year. Are we worried? It's a bit high, but if you are looking at the quality of what that cost is about, the bank has to go through that. Hence, if you are looking at our corporate plan, we had targeted by the end of the financial year the cost to income of about 79, because we are quite aware of the things that need to be done. Over and above that, there's still a cleanup that needs to be done. There's still a stabilization that needs to be done. Okay. The monthly cash buffer, I indicate here that at the end of the financial year, we'll close the liquidity at about 3.6 billion or so. That has come down over time. But this is out of our own making. That's a decision that has been taken by the land bank, because holding cash is costly. But what we're beginning to see is that investors, more and more investors are coming in. And over and above that, we now have credit lines with almost all, with all the big four banks. At some stage, we didn't have any credit line at all. So we are working on a strategy to determine what exactly is the appropriate cash that the bank should hold, so that we don't hold more than what we need, because it's costly. This is the gross loan book. You will notice that between last year and this year, it has stabilized, like we have already indicated. But you also note that impairments have marginally decreased. If the book was to grow, the impact would be more observable. Then that's the loan book quality. We have improved the loan book quality. As you can see, it's moved from 10.6 to 11 billion. And the non-performing book has marginally decreased from 2.7 to 2.6. This shows that the quality continues to improve. What we need to do now is to ensure that, again, the book continues to grow with its own quality. Then this, as a percentage of total book, will come down drastically. Now, all these things said, what happens on the equity? Those are liability over assets. What is happening? Is the bank moving forward? If we started about 04, 05, you'll know that the equity and the reserves, the equity of the bank has been on the downward trend until it hit 1 billion in 07. Now, the rating agencies highlighted that they were going to downgrade the bank if government did not just give the guarantee, but also the cash injection. That is the 700 million that increased the equity of the bank. But since then, with the performance in the last year's financial year of that profit, we managed to increase the equity to 2 billion. And since 31 March, until the end of September, we've been able to put another 100 million. We are confident that this will grow over the next period of time as we improve our efficiencies, our strategy, and as we consolidate what we have achieved. It is a positive sign. Yes. This is the gearing, the capital adequacy. Before I explain all the numbers, again you'll see what happened on the yellow side, which is what the government, the land bank has done. It was 6% in 07. 08, 09, we managed to improve this from 12 to 13% because we were doing better. And from end of March to end of September, we have also increased that to 17%. With it, of course, is a guarantee. That was 1.5 billion, and since it has improved to 1.5 billion, which increased the capital adequacy to 46%. But the financial situation of the land bank, as I've already indicated, would also want the cash, which has an equity impact. than a guarantee, and that's what the investors have been saying. But this is positive, that over and above what government is giving us, the land bank continues to improve its own book. Now, that's the financial side. And we are happy about what we are saying. But there are a number of things that the Deputy Minister has highlighted that tend to have an impact on day-to-day operations of the bank. And they tend to have an impact on how people perceive the bank. And actually, those are the stories that dominate the life of the land bank than those that we have explained. And there are four major ones that we'll talk about. It's the forensic investigation. It's the issue of the distressed developing farmers, sorry for that. The interest claims, it's fruitless and useful expense. Could we start with the first one? When we're here, we indicated that we had four forensic investigations. The first one was Agri-BE. That's the one that's normally in the news. We did indicate when we reported this to the police. The second one was LGFU, which is 07, but we indicated when we went to the police to report this. The third one is Mafisa. We reported to the Hawks on the 18th of August. The fourth one is IT, and again, we reported this with the Hawks on the 18th of August. Current Chairperson and Deputy Minister request that Mr. Hoffmeyer give this House an explanation on the development on the Agri-BEA, because I was here and we made a presentation, and my presentation will not be too different from the previous one, but he's the one who'll be able to explain more. I will cover the LGFU, who couldn't get the people responsible for that. Then Mafisa and a new IT and the IT system, Ms. Tembi Buhari, will also please just give a snapshot of what is happening. Through you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Veli Hoffmeyer. This committee awaits your report with equal interest than the previous submission by the CEO. And it's correct that the report that was presented, we've had semblance of it, but not the whole of it. Your submissions will be probably completely new to us, and it is very, very important that we listen attentively. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity. Can I start by just saying that I am here in sort of two capacities, one as head of the Special Investigating Unit, and in that capacity we have been approached by Treasury and the Land Bank to assist with some of the person power requirements on the Agri-BEE investigation, so we have seconded some of our staff to work with the police on this matter. Secondly, I'm also here as head of the Asset Forfeiture Unit, which is in the National Prosecuting Authority. We've also been heavily involved in this investigation, partly because large amounts of money are at stake here, and our mission would be to try and recover that money as speedily as possible. Chair, can I say that we obviously are reluctant to give details of an investigation in an open forum like that, because the investigation is as we say in the business, it is at a sensitive stage at this stage. But I wanted to just give the committee some understanding of the practical difficulties that there has been in this case. You may be aware that the private forensic accounting firm was brought in to assist with the investigation because of the scale of it. And I think as the investigation has unfolded, it has become clear that it has significantly wider ramifications than was originally thought.
And that is really at the heart of what has made it difficult to conclude the investigation particularly. I think as bank accounts and other records have been analyzed, it's become clear that there are other individuals that need to be looked at in what was going on here. And as an investigation like this unfolds, it's difficult to start approaching persons when you're not sure if they are a witness who might be able to help you or they are a potential accused person who has to be warned of their rights against self-incrimination and so on. And so there has been a lot of progress made in the investigation, but I think because the net has spread a lot wider, it's been difficult to start finalizing the investigation until we are clear, or the police in this case are clear, who should be potential accused persons and who should be either witnesses or possible accused persons who could become cooperating witnesses in this matter. I think the second logistical difficulty that there has been is because the investigation has broadened. A lot of this has been done on paper. We depend on access to bank accounts to track down money. And it's clear that money has gone through a number of different bank accounts and other entities in the process. We have recently had some help from Treasury to speed up the process of getting bank statements from the financial institutions. But it is a slow process because these statements are often have been archived in huge warehouses, and just the physical process of getting bank statements that are a bit old has delayed it. And at this stage, we are still waiting for the next round of bank statements to be delivered. At the same time, I can say that a large number of interviews have happened, that many of them are on the point of being made into witness statements. I think from the asset forfeiture unit side, we have also worked with the bank and the police to try and identify smaller cases where action can be taken more speedily and where it will not prejudice the general investigation. So on that front, all I can say to you at the moment is watch that space. We hopefully will see some action very speedily on that front. But I think on the general investigation, just on behalf of those involved in it, we have put some extra resources in it to speed it up, but I think given the scale of what is being uncovered, it is important that this must be tackled properly, and if I'm really here to beg some indulgence on the side of the team to say this is really being tackled with a high degree of urgency, but we do must make sure that we get to the most important people in the right way here and not end up picking up a few foot soldiers and the generals manage to walk away because we acted too speedily. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Hofmeyer. We are back to you, Honorable Minister, on your team.
Chair, we have indicated that Tembagazi will also deal with the investigation on the IT side. And Mafisi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I just want to respond to the rather not very comfortable expectation from Lending that the forensics are not meeting the speed at which was expected. And from my own little experience and perspective, I'm speaking only about Mafisa and IT, and I'm saying to the land bank, with my experiences, having started with land bank from the year 2000, Mafisa is moving at a speed much closer to a lightning speed. Having said that, Mafisa really, the investigation started in October 2008. It was reported to us in 2007, November, but unfortunately we couldn't get access to the documents that we're supposed to work with, which are the files and files. Thanks to Mr. Pagamani, the whole thing started in October 2008. Now, perhaps before I put a smile on Mr. Pagamani in the house, I'd like to paint a picture of what the challenges were in particularly investigating this particular 17 million worth of a challenge. Firstly, we are dealing with an investigation here which seemingly is engineered from inside the land bank, which I must say is typical. We are dealing with faceless people here in the sense that it is very difficult for us to actually know who we're looking for except the name that is on the application form, because you have nothing in terms of personal details. Unfortunately, we are also dealing with hugely illiterate people, our black people, who are very illiterate, even young as they are. Some of them cannot even write their own names. And because partly this is an inside job, to an extent it is difficult to find documentary evidence. Things like who can put a face on the policy that ran this whole process, which was a pilot project. The other greatest difficulty is there is huge distance in terms of the miles you have to cover to physically go and investigate. This farm is there, the other farm is there, it's all over Limpopo. And most unfortunately, the restructuring of the transformation process from Scorpion to the Hawk, that did put a setback in terms of staff turnover and, of course, in terms of general apathy. But having patience to speak of challenges, I wish to say we have really worked very hard to be where we are. Now, let me try and put a smile on your faces. The main investigation has been completed. Other investigations may follow depending on whether the need arises. A prosecution strategy has been designed. It is ongoing and it is being reviewed from time to time. Every week we meet to see what we are doing really now is making sure that we have a winnable case. So, being at prosecution stage is much more encouraging than being out there investigating and investigating. Preparing for trial, as I'm saying, is ongoing. We have already put together all the dockets. I'm just making a brief example, which have been identified in terms of each project. We've got over 26 projects in this matter. And as a process strategy, we have already looked into who we prosecute first and how we go about it. We are currently and ongoing busy preparing or creating a monetary trail to establish financial benefits, for example, We are doing asset tracking and asset profiling with the hope that very soon we will engage Mr. Willie Hofmeyer. We are busy trying to finalize the documentary evidence. And unfortunately, because of the challenges, particularly with restructuring, we had thought that come January 2010, we will be in court. But unfortunately, it may not happen, but safe to say, we are hoping that sometime early next year, we should be on trial. Thank you. Now, Project IT. Again, Project IT had a challenge, particularly that of restructuring, which I need not go back to. And we could only safely get a dedicated investigator into Project IT only in January 2009. But bank statements have already been obtained, but unfortunately, those bank statements were not sufficient for the purposes that we needed them for. Then we moved on to the FIC, for example, and we got better leads, and those better leads are being followed up, and within a month, we should be, or the HOC should be in a position to say whether they are proceeding with it, bringing us for prosecution, or maybe transferring it to the SIU to be investigated in terms of the financial, you know, public finance management act, or but then the ball is on the hawks themselves. But at least even then, progress has been made. They're finalizing their thing, and I think in a month's time, they should be able to say to you, we are prosecuting, or what next? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chess. I'll quickly finish, because I think we have taken a bit longer. With the LGFU, it borrows very heavily from what Mr. Hofmeyer has already indicated. It's going almost exactly the same trend. But what the investigators highlighted is that we are talking about 300-400 bank accounts, and you have people that can have about 30-35 bank accounts. So it's taking too long. But they indicated that they're still on top of it. They are building the team, they're increasing. But as a land bank, we have also added the resources to try to speed this thing up. Good, good. Now, that's the part of the first issue. The second issue we highlighted that tends to affect us on a day-to-day basis has to be the resuscitation of developing farmers from those that we're repossessing. What has happened? We have already indicated that the three ministers and the deputy minister are no longer just looking at this, throwing money, helping these black farmers and jumpers, but they are putting in the strategy to deal with this issue. A good example here of the challenges that we are facing can be illustrated here. You have a commercial farmer. Let's make an example. The mortgage is paid off. So he has a capital. He is secured. If he goes to the bank, he shows his land, and the bank says, oh, how much do you need? And the cost of that, if that's market operation, the cost of that will be less than the PDI. The PDI comes in, he borrows money for the land, and the capital, there's no capital. But he also borrows for production. Now, if you have these two farmers coming at the same time, one borrows, example, let's say both of them borrow a million. One borrows a million to deal with production, you know, inputs and all related things. The other one will borrow a million, of which 600 will be used for the land, to pay the land. So he has 400 million to service both production and the land. But the situation can be different. And the worst thing is that the farmer below, because the risk is high, there's no security. He ends up paying more.
and the land bank doesn't have a source that will mitigate this risk up until now. Previously, what was happening is that the government credit board will have come in to assist, but will cancel. So, these farmers are facing exactly the same market. The red line indicates the prices they are paying. And the blue is the prices they are receiving. Now, this gap, because they planned before, when the market was doing very well, they will pay this, and somewhere here, it will be harvested. They will make money. So that's what you pay after about 6 months, depending on what you're doing, you harvest. So you're sitting comfortable. But the market has changed. Now you have the farmers paying here and harvesting here, or paying there and harvesting here. So they cannot survive. Now, it is better for the commercial farmer. The commercial farmer was struggling, but they have a better leverage, they have a better balance sheet. The emerging farmer is well. He pays here, he gets here, and out of this, he has to service both the property, the land, and he has to buy the implants to produce for the following year. There is something on the strategy that is missing. So the minister said, and they looked into that, and they said, as a matter of principle, we have to make sure that for developing farmers, those that have already defaulted, we create some kind of a curatorship system. They said, we are not going to bail them out, but we create a system that will assist in providing a workout and restructure. Again, something very close to the credit box that was existing. Then he said, we need to build something like the Chapter 11 of the U.S., where when the banks defaulted, the bank came in and they assisted. There are a couple of things that are important when you do that. Is that the farmers have no longer have 100% control, but he can influence as to what should be done. Of course, this should only be open to farmers who are willing to farm. Then the minister said, the Department of Rural Development, Department of Finance, and Department of Agriculture, and the Land Bank, again, should then develop this into a rural development strategy. That would include a very chain model. That is, we include in there the aftercare and the off-taker. We have already spoken about creating a unit which looks like a credit board that will take that risk from the land bank and other financial institutions. The issue was raised that we have to create new cooperatives and work with what we already have of the cooperatives. The minister has said, you know, I think that's the issue that has been said. That was all. You have said they will come to Parliament in a shorter period of time once this is completed. Now, the team sat and looked into this and they identified three things. The problem with emerging farmers is access to finance. How do we enhance or improve their access to finance? That's the first thing. How do we ensure that they have the aftercare service? Because even now, the land bank is loan and we wait for 6 months to pay that. And 6 months down the line, we knock on the door and we haven't made it because you don't have the appropriate and you don't have support. How do we ensure that you have that? Then access to market. How do we ensure that there is demand for the produce that they are making? The ministers have proposed something very close to this, but this is just a structure that the team, the interdepartmental team is working on. It's based on what the Rabo Bank has done and continues to do around the world. That is currency. What happens is, this is a land bank. The eligible borrower comes to the land bank, and the land bank looks at the application, and the land bank says, oh, the risk is too much. If you have a very good business idea, the land bank will say, okay, we think we can give you term platform, but the security is not there because of the risk. Now, what this proposal is that the eligible borrower comes into the land bank, and in the program, in the plan, in the business plan, they will have to indicate the off-taker and over and above that, the aftercare service, which can be provided through the network and interaction that the land bank has, or a person can provide him. If the land bank is happy about the business plan, then that collateral fund or credit board will have to be conducted. What happens then is this guy, this eligible borrower, immediately when this is approved by eligible, by the collateral fund, the risk decreases because all of a sudden there is a guarantee. And if it decreases, it means that the land bank can no longer charge this person prime platform. It then becomes a market relief. So you have the trial where the eligible borrower goes to the bank and there's a collateral. But what it does over and above is that it allows the individuals or the emerging farmers that have very good business plans and they can be assisted, not just to go to the land bank. The private sector can also be motivated to come in so long as there is a collateral or there is a guarantee. Then the bank doesn't have any reason to say, if the business plan makes sense, the bank cannot say, we are not going to approve your application because the risk is too high. Then we have the government here and donors must call. After some time we think the private sector will have an interest. Who will then be responsible for this fund? This is not too far from the credit board system that was operating. It is a credit board system that assisted the white farmers to reach this level. Of course, they had to do a lot of work. But what we have without this is that the eligible borrowers are left on their own to survive. This time, the ministers are still working on this with the team, and we think that in a short period of time, in the near future, they will be able to come and present a detailed analysis as to how exactly will get operated. Thanks. That was the first. That, the third part is interest claims. Again, this is an issue that's been in the media for some time. In 1999, the land bank changed its interest calculation from NACA to NACS. So from civil to compound. Then also there was a change in the Land Bank Act. And that had an impact on the new loan, not existing. That is the levy of admin and penalty. Then there was an induplicate interest charge on account. Now this affected some farmers in one or the other. Now the end result is we have mixed results. The CFO is running the project. In some cases, people paid more than what you're supposed to pay the bank, but in some cases, they paid less because of this. So,
perhaps in the interest of all of us, do you want to explain what the induplum is?
Okay. The induplum is if you are owing the loan, if you owe and you can't pay the interest, and the interest continues to accumulate. If it reaches, what does that mean? Yeah, twice. Once it equals the amount you are owing, it has to be written off. So in some areas, that was not done by the bank. So, what have we done to deal with this issue? We have brought in the banking aspect. We've been doing the interest recalculation on all the loans that we have had from 1999. Engage the advocate, obtain the legal verification, and we'll get the second one. See if we can talk about that later. We've set up a team to investigate We've suspended all legal actions until balances are verified. We've instructed branches to refer all balance inquiries to the task team. We are briefing the legal team for court cases that are going on. So, what has been the impact? Since 2006, we have had about 101 disputes. Because this affects the farmers that had access some time back, it doesn't affect the emerging farmers. The disputes that have been lodged are amounting to about 13.6 million. 34 million have been settled. Some of them we have made their settlements, but they haven't yet been accepted. So let me highlight, Chairperson, without justification, that almost all the big four banks have gone through this. The issue is how do you do it, and we have to do it well, and we have to do it correctly. That's what is important. We have a team that will give us a clear indication as to what we should be doing, how we should do it. But in some areas, again, it's important. It's not only the land bank that charges people more. In some areas, people did benefit more. It's just an indication of where the land bank is coming with the legacy issues that we have to deal with. Now, the last issue is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In the last year's annual report, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure was 43 million, 3.8. Now, that came from the Auditor General because the land bank could not quantify it. Last year, at the end of the financial year, you can see that in the note 36.2 of the annual report, it remained at 13.2 million. But that was done by the land bank. So it shifted from qualification to emphasis of measure. But we can take it further. If you are looking at this amount, last year, out of 16.2, there were legacy matters that contributed 16.1, issues that have been building over time. The year before, of course, it was 43 million that was the legacy. Now, if you look at current matters related to weak payment processes that resulted in late regulatory payments, that is what happened where after the land bank had been transferred. It's 100,000 rand. That is the cost. With the year before, we don't have to go there. The portion of legacy is primarily has to do with the IT. At the end of the financial year, out of the 16 million, 5 million was IT. The year before, out of this 43 million, 35 million was IT. That is why it's important that we conclude this forensic on the IT. Now, what have we done as a land bank? The root causes of all of these things, of course, have been irregularities in respect of new system implementation and the late payment of IT vendors. The remedial action that we have undertaken is all implicated employees have been dismissed. There is a forensic that is going on. We have improved our procurement and payment processes, hence the Auditor General gave a positive response. Overpayment of to employees, we are demanding that they pay that amount of money, and we have entered agreements with them. But it's not just a bigger amount as the IT. The procurement and payment that did not yield the required result, and late payment, we have improved that. Let me just explain. We looked at some of the projects that inherited, and we found out that the product of those projects was not at the level of the amount paid. That's a fact. And we also found out that some of the projects shouldn't have been entered in the first place. So these are some of all those projects that are included here through the wasteful expenditure because we didn't see the need. We also noted that some of the workers or employees were paid more and were demanding more, and there are some that are outside and were still demanding that we repay that money. Now, there's then been an improved process and control over fruitless and wasteful expenditure. For 2010, as we talk, on payments before the head, joint, and the full tumor operation, about 500,000 was still a bit of a fruitless. That is well. Now, noting all these challenges that are facing and having highlighted that we are on the right track, we feel that the land bank is in the right direction. We also know that there will be legacies that will come from time to time, but we have put in systems and measures to deal with those issues. And the land bank remains committed to dealing with these challenges. It's just that some of them will take a bit longer, but when they arrive, we do deal with them. And the land bank story is different because you never know on day to day what you're going to pick up. What is important is if something new comes up, what do you do? And what we've decided to do with the board and the management is if new things come up and someone raises issues that we are not aware of, we deal with immediately. And thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Pramani, and all the presentations. I know it has been a marathon. We tried to reduce it to levels that we would be able to consume, in addition to what members have already absorbed reading the report. Therefore, Chairperson, would like to be guided by yourself. We would want to be guided by yourself how we are going to deal with engagement. There are four areas that we have dealt with. The first was the turnaround strategy. The next was the results of the turnaround strategy. Perhaps those two can be dealt with together. And then the financial performance up to the 30th of September, which is the 6 months. And then the critical legacy issues. It would. I want to submit, Chair, that it would assist us if we were to deal with them one at a time. When we deal with the turnaround strategy and the results, so that we deal with those, and when we're done with that, we look at the financial performance, and when we're done with that, if we could look at the critical legacy issues. But that we remain to be guided by yourself. Thank you.
Deputy Minister, I think your proposal should be the most appropriate way of handling these deliberations. I really agree that we should start with the turnaround strategy and the implications to the institution. Once we've dealt with that, then we'll follow into the financial areas. And the legal issues will be the last. We should go back to...
Can I find out whether visitors are not offered tea here?
Part of the reason why you don't have those things anymore is that we don't want to be exposed that we don't have a budget to provide you with tea. But the comfort break is allowed. We should take 5 minutes leg stretch. If you happen to bump into something that you can drink, know that it's a bonus. Thank you. Sorry,
Chairperson, you have ruled that the issues will be discussed in four phases.
Yeah.
Problem is that some of us have to leave other engagements at other PCs. If we would be permitted to put our questions and then leave,
all right.
And they could then respond to them, and we'll get the responses from the minutes. I'll appreciate it.
After the break.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is now for about 20 past. Can you come back at about just before half past? Okay.
Honorable members and Deputy Minister, CEO, Chairperson, and the delegation from the Department of Agriculture. The time for honorable members to interact with the submission is now, but I just want to lay some ground rules because, you know, when you start meeting, you know, we've got several items. The tendency of spending three quarters of your time on one item is very, very high, that temptation. And the rest then suffer. You don't pay enough attention. I'm going to impose what is not normally practiced in Parliament committee deliberations, that honorable members, when they pose questions, they should try to stick to a three-minute rule. Subject, so that we are able to pay enough attention to the rest of the submissions. They are all equally important. And those who are going to leave because of other commitments, honorable members, you should try to make it possible for those who are going to remain behind to pay enough attention to the issue that will be before them. In other words, let's try to be short, precise, direct to the point in terms of our comments and questions. Thank you. Honorable Co-Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And thank you to the Honorable Deputy Minister and his team for this comprehensive presentation. It's a lot of information that I worked through your annual report. And we wish you well with the strategy you are applying, seeing where you come from and the background. Chairperson, on page 33, of the annual report, key performance areas, the third one from the top, performance management system. System tested and implemented, performance management system not implemented, the actual performance, and then the last block is not achieved. Could you inform the committee what happened there? Why was this not achieved? And then, Chairperson, on page 43, it's a pity the AG is not here, or someone from his office. On page 43, the AG mentions wasteful expenditure to an amount of 16.5 million. Page 43.8 in the middle. But when you go to page 154 in the statement, an amount of 16.2 million is mentioned. Two different amounts. Could we just get clarity on that? Thank you, Chair.
Very exemplary as a Chair, Co-Chair.
Honorable Abraham, pardon me.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I want to thank the presenters for the presentation. I just would like to know the following. There were supposed to have been 402 jobs created as a result of the Agri-BEE fund allocations. Has there been any performance monitoring to see whether those jobs have been created, whether those projects are sustaining, and whether they are on the ground, or was it again a pie-in-the-sky type of thing that was manufactured merely to find the funds? Secondly, Chair...
Can we just check, is the member basing this on the threat plan, or is it on the report? If it is on the report, can we be referred to the section?
Chair, in the report there is reference made to the Agri-BEE fund, and I am basing it as a result of that report. Chair, the second question is, currently, do you have consultants? If so, how many and what is the total cost, let's say, in the period from the beginning of this financial year up to the latest date for which you have the information, one accepts that you do have capacity problems. Finally, Chair, regarding the issue of the resuscitation of distressed farmers, whilst I appreciate what the bank is trying to do, one must remember that their problem is not just money. They need skills. They need the assistance of a extension officer. You virtually have to walk the road with them. Otherwise, it would be like putting money into a bottomless pit. Now, the question here is, in working out a package to assist them, are we taking into account those issues? And those of the distressed farmers who merely got into it hoping that they can start making millions, but who do not really have a passion for farming, are you doing anything to assist them to gracefully bow out of agriculture by seeing to it that they don't lose their farms, but that you assist them to rather wait for them to sell their farms and pay the bank out for whatever the bank is being owed, and the profits that you are showing in your report? Is this not as a result of the repayment that you have received? For example, there's reference made to the KwaZulu-Natal project, I think it's Sokela, who settled his accounts, and that you are now seeing that as part of the profits, but not as a result of the operations of the bank. Thank you, Chairperson.
Do you have any other... Baba Masir?
Thanks, Chairperson. My questions are, they may seem a little bit very stupid, but on slide number six, I think there was a comment on 68 posts, in which 62, I think, were filled. I just wanted to know how many of these 62 positions that have been filled have contributed to transformation, especially in line with the employment equities. Then the other question, Chair, is the 166.6 million that we're talking about, does it really have any indication to the level of service delivery? Or we have just simply said and just collect money and just fill the bank? Or it is related to any service delivery activities? The next one, Chair. The question of the curatorship,
the curatorship. I think the manner in which the CEO has explained it, to me it almost amounts to a takeover of this farm. And I actually just wanted to check whether that assists our emerging farmers, especially when some of them have actually got these farms at the time when there was not any other assistance plan. And is it not the right time that those that miss out on the assistance or the kickstart, that they need to be getting that rather than taking over the farms? And is it not actually disempowering those that we try to empower by transferring land to them? Because then they would have absolutely no power over there other than the bank directing and actually telling them what they need to do. But Chair,
that's your last one. Come on. That's your last one.
Yeah, I can come to the last one, Chair, but I'll leave the most important one. The last one, Chair, is to check with the lenders whether there are legislative provisions that establishes the lender that frustrates your governance, administration, or your activities that involve to be a developmental bank, and also that engages in reconstruction, whether there are provisions that are actually making you to not to be able to do your work properly. And the real last one, Chair, was the first picture on the presentation on the turnaround strategy. I tried to actually figure out what informs this line, and I'm not sure whether these lines are not just an imagination, or whether there are functions or mathematical functions that can describe this line. Thanks.
Which line is that? Which line is that?
The picture, the first picture on the turnaround strategy.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Are you referring to the graph? Yeah. That talks to the current status of the turnaround. Something that looks like a graph, but the lines are... I don't know.
It's a graph. Thanks. Baba Makule, Mr. Pretorius, and Mama Barindela, and then we'll come back with the second round.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the annual report, page 16 and 20, the equity problem there. When you check to 20, it's only boys choir and one soloist. This picture is not nice. What are you going to do about it? And also page 16. Page 22, the land bank started long ago, 1912. What I would like to know, when did it fell down in such a way that it cannot survive until, as the minister says, that no, that they're recuperating, still waiting for the discharge? Because the government was part and parcel of the land bank from long ago. Now, what is the position now? My page 24. Yeah, page 24. The appointment, the board members. Why a higher rate of resignation? Just check that page 24, the board members. You expand from Zamkasha and from Mbangula. Then explain those that what was the reason. Page 36.
Which is your last one?
Oh. No, let me go to number one. As far as investigation is concerned, I will go to the investigation. Since the HOP is having a lot to do the whole country, how do you see yourself enhancing the investigation, finalizing of these cases? because they are not looking only to land bank issues. Thank
you. Mr. Pretoria,
Chairperson, can I beg your pardon? Can we be assisted? I had thought that the chairperson had agreed with our approach that we would deal with it in section, so that we don't.
In your responses, you structure accordingly.
Yeah, but the questions also would have helped if we dealt with a particular section, and when we're done with it, we move on to the other one.
Okay, Mr. Pretoria.
Thank you very much. I'll try to do that, but it's very difficult from our side to categorize your questions. So I'll just get to two short questions, and hopefully it won't create a problem. First of all, to say to the banks, thank you very much for a very
good... Speak to
the
mic. Speak to the mic.
Oh, sorry. First, to say to the banks, thank you very much for a good report. It's quite a change from the previous one, and we're looking forward to continued progress in this regard. And congratulations on that. My first question relates to the interest claim that's been lodged at the moment. The question is whether the bank is only looking at those claims that are lodged with them, or whether they're investigating all existing loans automatically, and whether they have made an assessment of the possible total liability on those loans if there are more claims. And second thing, sir, relates to human resources more than anything else. I've asked a question of the Minister of Agriculture recently, and I got the response this week, relating to the pension payout to the previous acting head of the bank. And to my astonishment, the response came that the pension to date has not been paid out to the official, because he hasn't completed the prescribed pension forms and no settlement amount has been paid, as the tax directive requested from SARS by the department was declined, as the official is not registered as a taxpayer with SARS. Now, I'm not referring specifically to the official, I'm referring generally to the systems at the bank or maybe at the department. How is it physically possible that a person at that caliber can work at the bank or in this department and not pay government or pay tax to SARS? From my experience as an accounting officer myself, that's physically impossible. You've got to have systems in place and control to ensure that it doesn't happen. So if somebody from the bank can just respond to that, it would assist us further. Yeah, I will stop there. Thank you.
Namo Badantala.
Okay. I think today my spine is getting very much chilled, but it's through excitement. Because I think I've never had such a hopeful presentation as we have had today. And I really would like to thank the presenters. I want to find out if the presenters have defined eventually the term emerging, what is an emerging farmer, and whether there is any system that is taking this emerging farmer and is saying to us, by this time, the farmers are left immersed. The second one is about the land valuation. Many a times, our people in the areas, particularly rural areas, they do not know that they are there with an asset, because they don't know the issues of evaluating, and also the land issue in the rural areas is something that maybe you can explain to us. When do you think they will start realizing that this is an asset and this is something they can use as equity, because they do not know and they are stuck with that. For those who know, they go to the bank to get the equity, and normally the banks say to them, we have nothing to do with land bank or land. And unfortunately, you do not meet our criteria, because we are the standard bank, FNB, etc. When will the banks now come together in order to really form a better picture for the poor people? I also want, lastly, just to find out about the municipalities, because the land that is closer to town is valuated according to municipality rules, and yet when now you have to present it as an equity, nobody wants that. Nobody will accept that it's not an equity. But I am very, I must say, excited, because today I just feel, say, honesty is the best policy. And what we've been presented here today is really exciting.
Thank you, Mama. And I hope, you know, it has got nothing to do with the fact that that honesty, you know, I made a note here, as presenters have been doing their job. And if I can read that note, it says, caring ANC government calling for good public to uncover these unscrupulous individuals whose agenda can only be reminiscent of the past apartheid practices. These have no place in today's democratic South Africa. I think that's what Mama Valdera is equally saying, that caring ANC government, which we all subscribe to here.
Just one person is missing. Caring coup, hopefully, coup government. So just say.
Those are some of the dreams that some of us have. Anyway. She was dreaming about Pope coming to government. Anyway, official Deputy Minister, the questions are there, and perhaps if we could also be judicious about some of the responses. Unfortunately, you know, dealing equally with the Deputy Minister, you would also be agreeing with us here that it becomes a bit difficult to really streamline ourselves. You know, these are politicians. You might set the rules. They always go out of those rules.
Thank you, Chair. But these are professional politicians. That's my understanding. And that is why I was saying maybe we should have just come in and said, here is the report, members have read it, let's tackle the issues, because as you can see, these very sharp, pointed questions that members have raised, we will understand your point, Chair. I'm going to allow the Chief Executive to deal with the operational issues, but a quick one. I think the Chairperson of the Board is going to explain himself, even though he didn't appoint himself, why he's got a boys' choir. But page 16 didn't seem like a boys' choir to me. I think the problem is in page 20. Page 16, out of, if I exclude the Chairperson and the Chief Executive, has got 1, 2, 3, 4 women out of 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. So that's not a bad picture. Okay, but maybe it's one of the things that should be looked into in the cleanup. But also we would agree that it's a work in progress. When you get into an institution, you find it like this, it becomes then your task to see to it that in filling up the vacancies, that is taken care of. Let me just say it is work in progress. It's one of the things that I think we take note of. I'm actually waiting for the Chief Executive to return to his desk and to have allocated questions to the others. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff. Mr. Quinn, thank you so much for the positive feedback. The performance management system failed because we didn't have appropriate people, from management to people below. We had a huge level of vacancies. We had just come in, you know, creating a building and establishing a turnaround strategy and setting up targets is easy. It's the implementation that's an issue. Now you get into an institution that has had, over the past 3 years, 4 GMHR. We were able to appoint a person. We didn't appoint.
When we moved in, there was a person appointed as a GMHR. But we then realized that we were dragging far below. In fact, out of all the departments, HRO was the least competent. We've since changed that. We've got a person with appropriate skills, and he has a term over 3 years. He's been able to appoint the right people. We have achieved in 3 months' time what we could have achieved in a year. So we have covered a lot of ground. Regarding wasteful expenditure, thank you so much for picking it up. There is a mistake that was made. It's supposed to be 16.2, not 16.5. I wouldn't say, because we'll say it's ordinary general, and ordinary general will say it's us. But thanks for picking up. It was a mistake. Mr. Evans, 402 jobs created. Has there been any job created? The whole agri-BE system is flawed. It was flawed from the beginning, and it never achieved anything. That is why we have the forensics. The operation indicated, Mr. Hoffman has indicated, what have they done to deal with this issue. Now, if we were to go and try and understand whether it had an impact, positive or negative, we would be justifying what should be justified. The most important thing that we have to do as a land bank is to get people that did the wrong stuff, put them in jail. That's been the commitment we have had, and that's the commitment we keep. Unfortunately, this is not our control, but the greatest thing is that the authorities are at least working with us. But we are not going to go there. We know that's been wrong. What is important for us now is to make sure that the government does get back the money spent in the form of assets or in whatever way we can get that money back. That's what I'm trying to say. So is it a pie in the sky? Maybe it was. But we will see once the cases come to an end. Do I have consultants? Yes. The consultants, I can't remember the figures at hand, but they were above 20 million in 2008. This year they came to less than 20, to about 12, 16, 12 or so. This year they are less than 10, if I think. I will provide the figures and confirm. I'll confirm that. But they have come down drastically. And in some of the people that we're consulting at some stage, we've entered an agreement with the companies that they be, in a way, seconded. And we have, at the senior management, we have two people that have been seconded to do that, who are acting, who are then permanently paid the salary of the land bank. But over and above that is to bring in the people to learn from the people that have acquired the skill. That's the first thing. The second, when we go out to gather people to join the land bank, like I've indicated earlier, we are getting people with appropriate skills that have been in the market with appropriate experience, so they are able to hit the ground running. The district farmers, the issue is not about the money. I fully agree with you. That's what we highlighted. It's about skills. It's about the failure of the government system to provide that skill. Government system includes lending. It's about the failure of the extension officers to do the work. We want to see the numbers. I think it was Deputy Minister who indicated that he has a farmer, he has a person who is waiting for the extension farmer for 3-5 years now. And the extension farmer is not there. They don't know where the extension farmer. Yeah, he's getting paid. That's the problem. Now, we need to come back and consolidate the strategy. Because amidst these challenges that we are facing, rural development has its own funds. Department of Agriculture has its own funds. The Minister of Agriculture indicated that he has funds equaling 1.2 billion. The land bank has its own, smaller ones. There's no consolidation. There's no transfer of skills. There's no insurance that the farmers are groomed from the start to the end. What does this petition presented try to, what does it seek to achieve, which is what the ministers have indicated? It's a benefit that has already separated agriculture into three sectors. We have to know what is subsistence, and the Department of Agriculture has defined that. And in subsistence, who should play the role? Then we get into the smallholder. Who should play the role? If the land bank plays the role, how should it play it? We consolidate the approach. We have a government wide. That's not what's happening. Department of Health has its own divisions. Another one will have, along the way, you meet if you're lucky. But the mere fact that the three ministers meet and they're sitting and they've formed a team that has been instructed to deal with this, I see it as a positive. And this team is not talking finance. It's talking about rural development, which includes skills transfer, which includes off-takers, aftercare-savers, access to finance. South Africa is some of the best farmers in the world. I mean, we just have to make use of them.
Perhaps to add, the model that the chief executive put up on one of the slides has since been adopted by all three ministers. Because the fact of the matter is that if these three departments are not cooperating fully, we will still not realize the objectives of empowerment of farmers. You are correct. We can pump as much money as we want, but if that is not supported, and one of the things that the chief executive said, he drew a comparison between a commercial farmer who owns the land and a farmer at an entry level, who, when even if they are given the same amount of money, would not be able to perform at an equal level. And that's where the other programs residing in other departments like agriculture and rural development would come in order to give the necessary support once the bank performs its own mandate on the other side. And I must indicate that when we come before the committees with that interministerial task team report, we would be addressing those issues. And we look forward to your inputs as well as these committees so that you could reach the process.
Thanks, Deputy Minister. Mr. Abram, are we allowing the people when they bow out in a dignified manner? Yes, I agree with you. As strong as this is put there, the basis of a farmer to participate will be informed by what the farmer has done up until now to show the willingness to farm. The ministers have said, before we can decide on whether we're willing to provide the curatorship that will assist this farmer to farm, we want to have a picture of each and every farmer to see when was the last time an effort was made. Now, you might get money and you don't have access, but there would be effort. You can separate from a person who's trying and a person who's not trying. At a land bank, let me make an example. We have a large number of Canadian farmers that buy the land, do not pay them, they stay in the cities, and you go there, you find that the farms have grown huge trees, which means it's been 8, 12 years, because the moratorium started in 2002. Now, if we have a problem like that, it means you don't want to farm. But if we see you trying to do something, that is only then that government is not giving you money, it's just taking risk on you for you to deliver. But you should have shown a degree of, you know, you should show the degree of, the commitment that you will have to provide that. We are weary of throwing money around. We have a number of case studies in countries where money was thrown around and it didn't work. Mafisa is a good example. Agri-BE has put aside its flaws. It was never going to be a good system. Now, the profit. Is it a profit because of Kwazulu's deal? No. It's a number of things that have happened. It is just but one of the biggest, but in all fairness, it's one of the biggest. But we have done quite a lot of things to at least ensure that we have this profit.
think he saw on the net income the figure that we saw. That was about 2.3 billion from 800 million. Yes. Mr. Masia? Sorry. My apologies. How many posts that were sold equity transformation? I don't have a figure, actually, but I would say if it's less than 90%, I'll be surprised. Maybe where we might be a bit weak on the equity side, at the equity side, will be at the very senior level, the point that has been raised, but also at the branches. The branches have had people that have been working there for some time, and the equity is taking a bit longer, but it's something we're working on. The 166 million, does it have indication of service delivery? That would be quite difficult to pinpoint. Remember that we still have a turnaround strategy that has indicated that in the first and the second year, the priority remains really to stabilize the bank, to make sure that the bank can stand on its legs. Let's put the finance side and make an example of what the land bank was. Here is an institution that had borrowed 12 billion rand. Okay. But that institution only had an equity of a billion rand. How would it operate? Then the rating agency comes in and they say, government, your guarantee is no longer sufficient because these people need cash for operational purposes. So the land bank is borrowing to operate. Government provides 1.7. Now, the movement that you show on the slide on equity. That story. If we had put the slide 5 years down, the years, it would have been the total opposite of this. It was just going down. So I think we are ahead, and we are counting those small slides for success, that we are beginning to see a trend that is going up, and it's not just government. And of course, if the approval is made on MTBTS on the billion that the Minister of Finance talked about, we'll make sure that it deals with the development and it works within the confines of a proper risk and credit management and also credit control, and also control systems. So that's the story. Most probably, we hope that when we come back at the end of the year next year, we are not going to come in and justify why all of a sudden this is now. We see this continuously growing over time. Curatorship, it amounts to a takeover. Is this a takeover? It's not a takeover, but it's not a bailout. Because when you bail, if we were to bail black farmers or emerging farmers, what will stop the emerging market from demanding that other SOEs do exactly the same? They could go to IDC, they could go to DBSA, or they might go to a private sector. What is required here is at least the willingness of the farmer to show that commitment that is prepared to farm. That's the first thing. But second, I think in as much as this has not been finalized, is not government giving a farmer money. Is government saying, I'm taking your risk, I'm going to provide the aftercare with the land bank, with the client, we'll have off-takers. Do produce this thing, you'll be assisted. A good example that is made by my colleague is to the effect that there's such a shortage of demand of maize in China. So,
why don't we bring these farmers in and assist them, government to government, China, South Africa. We go there and government says, China, we are prepared to give so much maize over this period of time. Are you willing? China says, we are happy. There's a bilateral agreement. The farmers start producing. That is access to the market. Those are things that we are starting to talk about, but the greatest thing is not land banks sitting at the corner. It's three departments that are running the land, I mean the agricultural sector, plus the land bank. What needs to be done, and that's what the people are talking about today, is that this still has to be discussed here, around here, politically. We would have played our role if the minister was first. Then the engagement would be at this level. Is it disempowering? It will, if it's a grant, or if money is thrown in. But because the farmer, we hope we are going to give the farmer a period of 5 years where he can survive, he can have aftercare. Most probably we might even arrive at a stage where the fees that he's supposed to pay already are held on the side because government has provided a guarantee. So it doesn't become a non-performing loan on the books of the land bank. So he works with other institutions. And after 5 years, or after 3 years, or after 2 years, depending on what ministers agree, then the government can come back and say, we're taking the guarantee, we think we're standing on your own now. We have helped you. Okay. Legislation provisions that have impact on the government. The Land Bank Act is cumbersome in law, but it's a government entity. We should expect that. The conflict is less on the act, on the legislation. It's on the interpretation of what a DFI should do and what a development agency should do. Let's make an example. The development agency is IDT. After 2 or 3 years, IDT will get 2 billion, or Msobongo, now it's not long Msobongo. Then that money will be spent over time. After the money has been used, the agency goes back to government, and government grants it money. But the land bank is a DFI. Put aside the fact we are getting cash injection from trade, from government. This is because of the anomalies and the things that took place at the land bank. Technical land bank should not be getting this money, especially after agricultural sector has done so well in the past 3-4 years, except this year. So, now, there is an understanding from some people that land bank should be an agency, or they see land bank as an agency. There's also an understanding from others that land bank operates more as a commercial fund. Based on the things we explain on the structure, it should. But at least now you have an understanding between the ministers and agreement that things will have to change. So if this happens, with the minister were to decide where the land bank should be, that should be a decision here. We would be there officials just to deliver the government mandate. And the land bank has an important role to play. The turnaround strategy, those lines, is it, yeah, let's go back, is it a pie in the sky? Not necessarily. But in all fairness, it just tells the story. Okay, that's that. The red one, we have more cleanup things to deal with. It says that those cleanup things should go until the end of March. Those are simple. Delaney here behind me was working on them. We knew what we were going to do. But that was the priority. We were putting more effort at the start on that. There was a second critical and important phase. That is stabilization. But the staff was not ready to undertake such work, and we knew what we needed to do, so the concentration was not exactly there. It tells us. So what does it say? It says that come March, Oh, it's been done by economists, so it will still, holding all other things constant in the class. So, it says come September 09, we should break it. That is, we should not, it tells us that we should not continuously concentrate on cleaning up. The bank has to be sustainable. We have to build a pool. So what has happened since September? We are spending more time visiting the farmers, the commercial, the rural, the developing, the emerging, trying to bring them back to the pool. We've been going almost for the past 6-7 weeks. Every week, we're going around South Africa, calling farmers, going to the world, tell them that the land bank they knew has changed, and the land bank will remain here. You see, so that indicates that development side, but that's not all. We are also putting more effort on the development side, on the policy, on the structure, because that's what we should be doing. The numbers on the development are still moving slowly, but in the next 2-3 years, we have a figure, and we want to meet that figure. If Mr. Makure. Makubela, I should have, I hear from him, sorry Mr. McCoy. Okay, page 16, the board, I think the deputy minister has explained, I think the problem is on page 20 and 21, that is the executive committee of the land. Okay, we have since put two more. The line number will be there, and the one who will be joining us in November is a woman. We still have a long way to go, but at least the story looks a bit different. Yes. When did the land bank fall so bad? That is difficult. So, see, Mr. Makwela, you know, I happened to read a book that was written by Helen Dolny, you know, that's 1980, talking about the land bank. And I noted that some of the challenges and the problems listed there existed until very late. The land bank did not start going down in 1994, if you read the information in what was happening. But it was very slow. What happened is the last 3-4 years, it was very fast, very quick, until it hit the rock bottom. I think July, put all other things aside, March, April, last year, the bank hit the rock bottom. It couldn't go any further down. You see when that's a sick beneath. Yeah, it reached there. That is why then there were measures that we put in to try and Deputy Minister says that twice it has failed and I was still in the hospital, but at least we are moving. What is important for the bank will be how sustainable is it and how well does it perform over the next 3 years to generate or to ensure that credibility is built. You know, credibility loses in a second. The land bank has over the years done things that ensure that there's no credibility. But we still have clients that are willing to join the bank, that are still with the bank. And there are those that we talk to them that are willing to come back to the bank. We just have to give them comfort that while we know what we're doing and we're doing it well. And that's the intention.
Thank you.
The rate of
presentation.
Oh, yes, sorry. The rate of presentation, what was the page, by the way? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, there are a number of resignations on the board. There has been a number of resignations, rather. I think you must just note that the one, Zamkaka, he was the acting CEO at that stage, and he was replaced. Mr. Langa resigned. Mr. Reverend Mbangula also resigned as a result of his own reasons. And Dr. Anna Mokoke was just overwhelmed with a lot of other work, and as a result of that also had to resign. The other two members that have been identified as having tendered their resignations have since then been appointed back again on the board. They resigned as a result of some of the of the problems that we had at that stage, but they came back. And right now we only have two vacancies on the board, and those vacancies have been appointed, advertised, and I'm sure that we will have appointments soon. The board currently is a very well-functioning board, a very committed board, and the members are really very loyal. I must also mention that of the four committees, two committees are chaired by women. Thank you.
Is Mr. Pretorius? Thank you. Interest claims. Is the bank only looking on claims for the CFO?
Thank you, Chair. As mentioned, these interest claims are actually a legacy issue and need to be managed and dealt with in conjunction with our current operational responsibilities. I would just like to highlight what the events were that actually led to these claims and discrepancies. Firstly, it's the new banking system and the change in the methodology of calculating the interest rates, the change in the Land Bank Act, and also where we have in group of interest, they are obviously applicable on accounts that were in default, and that's where we get the in group of interest on default accounts. So it's not always easy to know exactly which accounts are involved. We know that in 1999, with the changeover, live accounts at that point in time, they are probably involved, and also with the change in the Land Bank Act, live accounts in 2003, they are probably involved. What happened was that the agreement, when the changes were made, the agreements were not always amended, and hence now the actual practice is not in line with the agreement. Then there were historical administrative errors due to weak control procedures where after those times old loan agreements were used for newer loans. So to get you back to your question, we can only identify part of these accounts involved, and the others obviously we'll only know as and when we actually get a claim. We are currently concentrating on the actual claims that we received. That is our priority at the moment, but we've also expanded our task team, and we will be increasing the scope to try and look at all the accounts that could be involved. We've also openly invited the public, farmers in public, that they are welcome to approach their branches if they feel that their interest calculations are wrong. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the tax payout that the Land Bank Pretoria did not pick it up, Delaney, the Chief Project Implementation Officer, are responsible.
Thank you. Mr. Pretoria, I found it quite interesting that someone can't be registered with SARS, but what the Land Bank has done is, we pay our pay as you earn over to SARS, as you know, and there's a reconciliation at the end of the year. And part of the cleanup was for a firm to come in and to ensure that our pay as you earn practices are in order, that we get a clean bill of health. We went and there was voluntary disclosure to SARS in the areas that, you know, there were potential risks. One of those matters wasn't that one of the employees wasn't registered with the SARS. All the information has been submitted. So we are relatively comfortable that whoever is our employee is registered with the SARS because the information is submitted and the tax returns are also issued.
Thank you, Tariqa. The definition of the emerging farmer, the chief is an investment officer responsible.
Let me just to explain. What we previously at the Land Bank, what we did was, anybody who, even if you were a black farmer, if you borrowed anything over R1 million, you would be considered a commercial farmer. So you often found that we do have people on our book that there are black farmers that we don't recognize as
as emerging farmers. And what we've subsequently done is we've gone down the road of actually providing the proper definition of what a commercial / emerging farmer is. So, and that definition would be that if anyone is farming on a piece of land that's more than 300 hectares, then we'd consider that person a commercial farmer.
And, sorry, there are other things that we have to look into. The biggest problem we meet on emerging farmers is that I could be worth 500 million, but I'm khatel. I'm seen as black, not as emerging, but I'll be treated differently. There has been a change in approach now, the one we're looking at that. Putting aside the fact that we have to relate the decisions we have made as a land bank to those of the Department of Agriculture who are working together. The Department of Agriculture has highlighted three levels. The subsistence, the smallholder, and there's a definition when you become, when are you a subsistence, when are you a smallholder, when are you commercial. That will help a great deal. But this only comes now when we're dealing, as the Deputy Minister indicated, on the structure. What the Land Bank has done to add on what Deborah has highlighted here was that let's get to understand who this emerging and what are the benefits, what benefits do people get. And that should not only be the case. If you come and you are a commercial farmer and you have this percentage of black farmers and this farmer have an equity in your company and we can prove that they benefit from production, we're going to treat you differently. We are not going to force, because every time we say there's black empowerment and all those things, doesn't work. But we say we're going to review your price based on the metric of what do you call that? They are development indicators. So we have defined where the market can go. Now, once you start talking money, you will then begin to see the number of farmers willing to participate there. And I must say that even now, when the farmers, commercial, when they are coming in, amongst the areas where they have to fill their form that determine the cost is exactly that. It's your development impact. Have you done this? What's this? What's that? But I think the Department of Agriculture will inform us to agree that. That is why we're adopting how they split them. The question on the valuation, the last question.
Okay, let me take the question around valuation. I think what we have found is, and you indicate in the sort of like the myth of our book, we were historically we're very security-based type of lending, and we do want to move towards cash flow type of lending, but the issue there is that if you price for it, even with cash flow, you need security to actually reduce the cost of that lending. But what the CEO has indicated is that we are working closely with the various departments to come up with a collateral fund, and through this collateral fund, we'll be able to take the security provided by the collateral fund, and in that way, enable us to actually fund even farmers who are farming on land that doesn't belong to them.
Could I just add on this bridge? If there's a community, and it's a land reform issue, they get a piece of land. Now, they don't have capital because it's a communal land. Land bank will struggle to lend the money because there's no security. That's what we are trying to change. Now, if we have that collateral, it can be used, but over and above that, we should begin to look at the projected cash flows and the business model. If the business, and this will take us longer, the one that the chief operations officer is talking about can be done very quickly. But if people come and they are able to indicate that these are our cash flows, we don't have an asset, we should consider, based on their business plan, to lend them money. And we have said, you can do so if we mitigate against the risk, because it means we don't have the cover.
How do you do so? The best thing maybe is to then say, what is your aftercare service? Who will provide the service? Or we say, we can enter into this deal with you on the ground that we bring our own people, we go pay for skills that will help you. That's the best thing. But secondly, the issue that we now demand that you pay 15% or 10% within a year might not work. Well, how about looking into this thing and trying to put in equity? So we say, because you don't have cash and you're going to take time to have cash, why doesn't the land bank work with you as a partner and we get a return out of the equity, a small percentage, a certain percentage of your produce? Then after so many years, you'll be on your own and the land bank continues to lend money to other people. So those are all pockets of things that we are beginning to look into. I think that was the last answer.
Thanks. It turns out that land bank has literally taken almost 80% of the time in the talking. Now, which also means that we certainly do not have enough time between 9:30 and 1 o'clock in engaging with land bank. And I would imagine the co-chair here might have to, you know, comment on that in his concluding remarks. Unfortunately, I'll have to jump myself for a 12:30. But I thought that I should, as I leave, you know, throw two quick ones for the land bank and be a bit opportunistic here, Deputy Minister. The first one, reading in the media, there was a person called Tori Lemanelli, who became one of the whistleblowers, if not the only. Subsequently had to be dismissed. What happened with such a situation? This now talks to some of the investigations, I would imagine. But I would imagine this one should really be a case on its own. The last one I wanted to ask, I hear you, Mr. Hadere, that you're saying politicians must then decide what next after cleanup. In your slides there, or rather in your graph, it does show March 2010, is the time wherein there shall be some movement going forward in terms of sustainability. I'm saying to myself, this is an entity, it's a DFI that talks not only largely but only agriculture. Hence, I would imagine they are here. And of course, that's where it comes from. Whatever challenges were there, they seem to be. Because the issue for me shouldn't really be about whether it is in this department or that department. The issue is more about the people that are there, yourself, that are running the show. It should really be a situation where it says there has been an improvement, turned around. What then next? I'm asking that simple question precisely because I would imagine, and this is also our experience as we go forward in engaging with the Department of Agriculture, we keep on coming as we look at the whole comprehensive support program for agriculture. We keep on coming to financing, and then when it comes to financing, we are hamstrung having to go outside and talk to another, you know, authority in terms of the services. Those would be the two questions for me. I think the co-chair also had a question here. So.
Chair, yes, thank you. Maybe I've misread it. Looking at all the investigations that's going on, 1, 2, 3, 4, in total, what does that amount to you are looking for, you want to recover? Like the Minister of Finance said at the Budget Council, the money is somewhere lying, you must just find it. What are you finding?
Sorry, members, that we had to do this to ourselves, having to take in addition to the officials here and the minister. Any further questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is according to the slides earlier on. I would like to know how is the bank, can the land bank further explain how is it going to address its declining retail loan book? And also, can the bank provide details of its development pilot project that are valued at 3.2 billion over the next 3 years? Thank you.
Honorable Peter is followed by Honorable Laurie.
Thank you, Chair.
You will follow Honorable Laurie and then come back to
the merits.
Now, Honorable Peter, now wait, or Wom Laurie?
Yeah.
Bachman. Honorable Peter.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to ask a technical question. Mine are constituency based. I just want to check from the bank as to how far are they in realizing some of its objectives, in particular the one on equitable ownership of agricultural land, focusing mainly on ownership by blacks and Africans in particular. I'm just checking how far are you in realizing objective number one of land bank, focusing mainly on the ownership of land by Africans. The second one, Chair, if the land bank has this information, how much of agricultural land is available in the country and how much is in the hands of Africans? And of this land, how much is used for the purposes it is meant for? I'm asking this question, Chairperson, because earlier this year, I think all of us, we saw on the news the minister, I think the then minister of agriculture, taking away the land from those who benefited through the land claim processes because they were not utilizing the land for agricultural purposes. And I just want to check if you have systems in place to assist those communities when they get back to their land as to what is it that the land bank does to assist those communities and avoid situations like what the minister did earlier on. The last one, Chair, I'm not sure whether it was answered. If it was, please pardon me. You talked about dealing with issues of sourcing out funding from the private sector, not really relying on government. I just want to check if you have the plans to ensure that you are not dependent on government bailouts to strengthen your capital adequacy.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Wom Laurie.
Thank you, Chair.
First of all, I think most of our questions have really been answered, and secondly, I would also like to thank the Land Bank and the leadership for a very good and well thought through presentation. I think it gives us most of the information that we needed, and it obviously makes our investigation and our role of oversight much easier. I would like just a few issues that I would like to put on the table for more information. We've heard on the investigation, the forensic investigations report, I would just maybe put on the table that, you know, the perception out there, until such time that clarity is reached and people are brought to book and the issues are documented, will still have doubts of what is happening and what is the situation with the money that has been misspent, or well, obviously we would like to know if that money will be able to, if we will be able to get it back. I think that is the question that is on everybody's mind. Are we going to also see those people getting away with it? So I would like to just get more, a little bit more clarity on the process. When can we get more information, for instance, on the investigation on the Agri-Bee situation, where it is finalized already, the investigation finalized, and so on. So let me try and get that on the table. Then the second one, I think the projections, and we're looking at some of the graphs, are quite positive. Although we see in some of the projections also, and I'm specifically looking at the cost to income ratio, that in the medium term it is forecasted, and it is put on the table, that the cost will increase of the bank. And we're not seeing really that increase in income. And I would very much just like to find out if this is a sustainable situation, especially if we look at the graph, cost to income, the percentage seems to me that it is at the moment at about nearly, it's at 88%, which is very, very high. Coming back to the growth of the book, and I think that is the counter to the cost effect. I mean, you will have to get some income. To grow the book, and I hear that they're saying that they are talking to the farmers and they're having talk shops and speaking at various functions. But the most vital issue here is competitiveness of the interest that is paid on loans. And we know that the Land Bank's interest rate is higher than commercial banks. And the result is most of the prime clients are going over to the commercial banks, and I think there must be an effort put into getting back those clients to the Land Bank, because that is actually the people that will make the money in the long term. Then my last question, just for clarity again on financial sustainability, we're looking at the capitalization or the supplementary governmental capital injection which the government is giving. I see it is ring-fenced for development, and we're also seeing in the graph, if you look at the capital and equity reserve, that the 700 million that was paid over is clearly reflected in the reserve that is pointed out. We have seen in our discussion that we're having today again on the supplementary budget, another billion is going to be paid over now. What is the expectation for the future? Is this going to be is there a cap on it? And also then, what is happening to the 1.5 billion security or guarantee that the government has placed on these loans? Can I just get clarity on those? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if you'll allow me just to extend a little bit my colleague's final question. And I think the committee should just realize the context of the 3.5 billion guarantee. The Deputy Minister of Finance and the Finance Ministry, when they realized this recession was coming, implemented cost savings throughout government. And their total cost savings, if I recall rightly, are less than the amount the government is putting into this institution as a guarantee. So we're talking about an enormous amount of money here. My question is, just to try and understand it better, that there was an initial guarantee of $1.5 billion which was in place until the end of December this year, and then I gather it was extended by $2 billion to come up to $3.5 billion. My colleague asked about the $700 million that's reflected in the statements of changes in equity. Is that then a cash injection? Because I gather the $3.5 billion is being made up in cash injections until the point at which it's gone. So how does that $700 fit in with the $3.5? And then is there... And then just to clarify, the $1 billion announced by the finance minister a few weeks ago was part of the $3.5 billion. It wasn't an extra $1 billion on top of it, as far as I understand, if you could confirm that. And then what would the feasibility be of this guarantee being converted to a loan, given the improving financial position of the institution? Is there any way at all that we could convert the guarantee to a loan and thereby make some money back for the taxpayer? My second question is about the definition of emerging farmers, which the team said had changed to, I think, farmers at less than 300 hectares. If that's the new definition, what would the bank say to a 19-year-old white farmer with no resources who's just come out of agricultural school? Would they be eligible to be classified as an emerging farmer? And then two more quick questions. Mr. Hockmeyer said the investigation was broadening. Can you provide an indication of how many new suspects there are now in the investigation and what level they're at? And if there's evidence that proceeds from the abuse of the capital was shared from inside the land bank with people outside the land bank? And then lastly, you said that, Chair, the team said that they couldn't clear the LDFU because of current market conditions, which is all very well. But what non-core assets does the bank hold right now? Which golf courses do you hold, for example, do they hold? And what kind of income stream are they realizing from these assets as it stands? Thank you.
Tim, I think I had noted the Honorable Mashile.
Thanks, Chairperson. Not many. Just to restate my last question, I think the one that I checked on legislative provisions, I was actually taking those that you think you need to recommend to be amended to streamline your operations. I think that's what I was directly looking at. And Chair, I have just realized that the committees of the board, there is a lot of overlap on the membership of the committee. And then in the spirit of the check and balances on the operations of these committees, how do you then deal with issues of collusion between the committees when you have got many members, you know, it's serving in both committees of the board for check and balance purposes? How do you avoid collusion? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, CEO, Chairperson, and your team. I guess this is the last round of questions, given the time that is left before us, for 15 minutes. Clearly, the previous chair, Mr. Lulu Johnson, did indicate that it is not easy to deal with the report of an institution like this within 2 to 3 hours. But nonetheless, I think we've tried to do what we could do under the circumstances. You have got the 15 minutes in between to respond to all these questions. But I'll be pleased if you had to do it within 10 minutes.
I can move very quickly. The co-chair asked about Koli Dengama, what happened. I must state that committee that was before my time. But what I've learned is that he feels that he was fired because he was a blue. But on the other side, the board feels that as a CFO, he should have done the work. The issue, and I hate to say that, is sub judice, and I think the court will decide on that. Then the second issue. The CAF going on. The CAF just indicates an institution, you know, on the regarding the turnaround. It just indicates an institution that will be growing in stages. Now, that will be informed by our shareholder minister with the other two ministers and, of course, the discussion over here. But we are quite sure that once we're able to solve with this issue, whatever line we're taking, we'll be concentrating on core business. We're spending some time, about 60 to 70% of the time at the land bank, dealing with legacy, not business. So that has an impact on the bottom line. If we would be able to deal with all these legacies, then we'll be able to work on this. A good example, land bank gets to the front page of the Sunday newspaper. From Sunday in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything was at the article, responding to different articles, responding to investors. So it does take a lot of time. It put aside the fact that that article had been reproduced before. But again, if the institution allows people to rewrite, they always do so. So that's an issue. The amount to recover from the forensics, I'll run it down. The land was given up to finance unit. I believe that we have the security. So if we sell, like the first one, we got about 14.5 million. We can still get about, roughly, we can get about 500 million or 550 million over time. But that depends on what happens on the market conditions. The forensic has less to do with whether we can sell this asset. It has more to do with how such decisions were taken and how were they taken and what was the flow for. That's the first one. Agri-BE, about 85 million was dispersed out of the total of 100 million. Now we need to see the flow of funds. And I think Mr. Hofmeyer indicated that that's where we are working in. If there are areas where asset forfeiture can help us, we'll be very happy. But our aim is to just make sure that we get as much as possible out of that, get the money, government's money back. Then there's a third one, IT. We don't think that we're going to get much from IT in the form of assets. But we think that those that perpetrate this deed should pay the price. So there's no money. But it's a matter of principle doing the right thing. Then there's a fourth one, which is Mafisa. I think on the asset side, the people who are involved, we might get smaller things, but we are not looking at a big amount. 17 million, there are no assets, but again, do the right thing. How is the bank going to address the retail?
Before I start answering, let me just give you a historical perspective. The retail book has been declining for quite some time, and the reason why it has been declining is because often you find that we, as a bank, we haven't communicated what our strategy is. And we found that with a lot of farmers, they left because they felt that the bank was moving purely towards development and that we weren't necessarily going to cater for commercial farmers. And another reason that hasn't helped us, the fact that banking to a large extent is it's a business that's all about confidence. Often, when there's a lot of negative publicity around the land bank, that's in the media, people feel that, number one, they cannot bank with the institution that they don't trust. In result, we found a lot of those farmers left because of that. However, subsequent to that, we've undertaken a number of initiatives to try and get those farmers back. I think what our CEOs indicated, we've gone on a number of roadshows to communicate to those farmers, to understand what their concerns are with the land bank, and to also to communicate our new turnaround strategy together with our new vision to show them that we are changing an institution and we want them back as clients. Another initiative that we've undertaken to ensure that we are competitive is an initiative that's looking at reducing the turnaround time. The turnaround time, which we've internally defined as the amount of time it takes from the time that the client actually enters the bank up until loan disbursement. We simply take too long for that. And commercial, the way in which we're currently operating is almost similar to the way the commercial banks used to operate in the 80s. And we are putting a lot of effort to ensure that that actually the turnaround time is actually reduced. Another initiative that we're also looking at is to ensure our own competitiveness is the credit model together with the pricing model. Once we've refined these instruments, we'll be in a position to provide products that are, number one, competitive, and that also meets our clients' needs.
Thank you, $3.2 billion target, how the pilot projects are going to meet it. We don't have a solid pilot price for $3.2 billion, but what we have is for this first $450 million that we've built. But as we work closer and closer with the Department of Agriculture, the approach might change drastically, especially after the diagram that we put in, where we highlighted that there's an acknowledgement now that rural development has a role to play in the mortgage, land bank in providing financing for agriculture, and agriculture and production loans. We have been working in silence, and that's a sad part. At least now we're talking, as the ministers have indicated, and we find a lot of synergies. That is why we are going to come up with one strategy, and that strategy will then tell who's supposed to do this, who's supposed to do this, what role does agriculture play, land banks, and this thing will come up clear. Honorable Bila, equitable, how the land bank on equitable ownership of land, it's almost exactly the same question. I haven't found a document in the land bank, I'm not sure about this, that indicates the role that was played by the land bank on the equitable ownership of land. It was silent. But the Minister of Rural Development, in the interactions that we have had with the three ministers and deputy ministers, just highlighted that is not so. What we have to work on is not just about the food, the daily change, but it's also about synergy as to how the goals and objectives of the Department of Rural Development could be assisted by the land bank. Because it could be that when government goes to buy land, the price increases, it shoots up. Land bank has clusters and resources around which it can use to generate land on behalf of the Department of Agriculture. Those are things we are working on. How much agricultural land is available? I wouldn't know. And I think we have a research unit, but we're using secondary information. We source that from ARC, the CEO was not there. I don't see him now. He will have provided because we have that information. Sourcing of financing, are we not going to rely on the bailout? That's a strategy that tells you that the bailout, once they are over and the bank is sustainable, we don't want to come back. Now, the land bank financially looks stable, but it isn't. You know, you look at that capital adequacy, it's high.
but capital adequacy and operations, cost of operations and on lending are unrelated, and therefore the equity does not grow. What will grow the land bank is the equity. Its equity is so small. I mean, 2.1 billion is small. I think it's a question again that was raised on the outside that the bank looks to be financially viable. No, it's not. If the land bank was a private institution, it would have long closure. It just survives because of the backup of the government, and the finances will take time. Now, the agreement that was reached with the National Treasury, the government providing a guarantee of 3.5 billion, if the minister can talk about, was that the guarantee will decrease with cash, like the minister and the deputy minister have already announced the 3 billion. They are looking over the period of 4 or 5 years. But then, the condition is that the land bank has to grow its development book. Now, does it mean that the land bank had to ignore the developing, the commercial side of the market? No. That's not the reason. We get cash, we generate income, we make profit, equity grows, and both the commercial and the development will win. It's not a zero-sum game. The two are complementary and they supplement each other. We can grow both books, and that's intention. So the issue that has been highlighted on the guarantee does not necessarily mean that we are going to ignore a commercial side. But what it means is that we're going to grow the development book, but this money will allow us to generate more income to also grow the commercial side. Dealing with sources, okay, we've done. Here, Warner, investigation perception. There's a perception that until people are brought into book, when are we going to get information on finalization of agri-BE?
I'm not going to be able to say a lot more than I said earlier, but I do want to just correct one perception, and that is, if we find money, we will take all the money. But we do know that people who have acquired the proceeds of crime often are big spenders too. So in many cases, money has been spent on luxuries and luxurious lifestyles, so it's not always possible to recover all the money that's one of the things. But it's not that if there's money, we will take it back if we have a legal basis for doing so. But I think what the CEO was also saying is that even where there is not money to be recovered, it is important that people be held to account and that an example be made. And I think the land bank has indicated very firmly that it is its position. It's not only about getting the money back.
Honorable
sir.
The questions have already been answered by Mr. Hofmeyer and, of course, the CEO. I just want, if it's permitted, to really endorse this point, that I'm happy that the land bank has realized that there needs to be close networking between the departments that are responsible in this whole case. Because I've found in my investigative experience that the greater problem is that one hand does not know what the other is doing. With MAFISA, with all honesty, with due respect, with MAFISA, for example, to my greatest surprise, we found that some of the farms which could have been, impounded through the asset forfeiture process have already been transferred to the community. Now, really, where will we get the money to compensate the victim? If you take it away from the community, aren't you calling for a political riot? I'm really, really encouraging this, and I'd like to say to Land Bank, go as far beyond as the Land Commission itself.
you are all in one department, make sure that you know what the other is doing. There was a question, Chair, about the HOCS, whether it will be in a position to assist the investigation. I cannot claim to speak for the HOCS, but the only picture I can paint is this. Currently, we are in a very good working relationship with the HOCS. I'm not HOCS, I'm National Prosecution, but the HOCS have realized the important role that we have played, and they've actually asked me, particularly in the cases that I've talked about, to continue to lead the group. Now, as you know, the HOCS have taken over the journey, and obviously it is now the HOCS' show. But the relationship between prosecutor and investigator will always be there, whether we like it or not. Only that the roles have changed. We're no longer in the lead or the forefront, except with the exception that I have with Makisa and IT. But we will, as prosecutors do, always be in an advisory capacity for prosecution purposes rather than being in the lead capacity for investigation.
I think it's a question of cost to income. No increase in income for 20 years. I fully agree with that, Mr. Lawrence. We have benefited from collections. That is why that graph puts the emphasis on building the book. That's the only way the land bank can survive. And we're going to make an effort in doing so. Yes, the issues that you raise, that maybe we are not competitive on the rate, not at a higher level, at a lower level. At a higher level, we can compete, but it just demands that we spend more time talking to farmers, convincing them to come back, because we can continue the process, maybe this year. Next year, if the book doesn't grow, we're not going to make it, so we're not going to improve the equity. Those are things that we have in mind and we have a strategy. The clients leaving is for different reasons, you know. Yeah, some of them is cost, some of them all the negative stories that we have added on. Some of them is a turnaround, we take too long. It's a combination, but we have a team that is working on that. Capital injection. The 700 million, I think I've raised, and when I was explaining,
I'm sure you're aware that you are well beyond the time now.
Yes, I'm trying to write. Okay.
Can you wrap up?
Yes, okay. So I think I've covered the 700 million. I think the 3.5 million guarantee, it will reduce with cash. I think that was highlighted. So what role does cash 700 play in this role? In Austin, in the state the land bank was in, that 700 just disappeared, but at least it allowed the bank to deal with the operational issues. Now, we have the turnaround strategy. If that 700 was sufficient for the bank to survive, there wouldn't have been a need for this guarantee to be converted into cash. That's the only time that the land bank can then begin to improve, not its capital adequacy, but to improve its equity. Because it's the equity that can dictate how far the land bank can borrow and how the financial standing of the bank. That is what we're working on. The 700 fitting to 3.5 billion, that 700 was not even a strategy. When it was provided by guarantee, it was purely a strategy to ensure that the land bank doesn't, to stay afloat and is not downgraded. But now, the 3.5 billion that was received, we were given 6 months to come up with a turnaround strategy, and the National Treasurer on behalf of government said, if we are not happy with your turnaround strategy, we are not going to give you a guarantee. We had to put a lot of effort. We worked up until first time when they said, we are happy with you. But of course the guarantee was not good enough because the equity is still low. If especially we have to go to the risky side or the development side. Then the government said, we are, if you achieve 1, 2, 3, give you, convert 1 billion, guarantee to cash. We did those things. And they said, now, we were hoping we'll get this billion in favor. We've got it now, we're happy. We're not complaining. But there are other criteria.
I have to stop you. I have to stop you. I know you're very passionate about your job.
Yeah, thank you. Chair, let's indicate that if there are questions that members feel has not been adequately answered, they're quite free also to submit to us in writing and we will respond. But also, I think it's important that we stop here, Chair, so that you can approve the 1 billion, because if it is not approved in their judgment today, then it won't be available.
That's what I was worried about, because the number of committee members, honorable members, is busy fading. Tim, you want to say something?
Yes, sir, just a request, because the team has my questions. I would appreciate if you could, if they could respond in, with a short note in answer. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you should just do, but equally, honorable members could actually send questions in writing to me that requires responses if they've not been able to pose those questions today.
Could we send the questions through you, the team's questions?
Yeah. Okay. Now, honourable members, the Deputy Minister, thank you very much for your time. I would shy away from actually trying to deal with all the issues that you have raised, but to deal with more substantive issues that you have looked at. One, I think when we look at your turnaround strategy, it's beginning to bear fruit and it needs to be supported. But just looking at the number of issues that we are confronted with, we may need to go beyond the ritual of our interactions, you know, meaning that you can only come and see us in terms of the annual report and so on and so forth. I think this period requires constant interactions, formal and informal, so that we are constantly on board as Parliament and the committee that is supposed to support you, your initiatives. You should not feel restrained, because in terms of the normal presence of Parliament, you are supposed to see us at a particular time. This is an extra ordinary situation that we are dealing with in terms of the financial institutions. On the issues that need to be followed up by state institutions, particularly where Mr. Hofmeyr is placed, you know, when I listen to your colleague, you know, delegation from the prosecution side, it's very clear to me that we've got more than cash in transit in the schemes that are supposed to help ordinary people. It's more than cash in transit. And it needs to be really tracked down. And we must be seen to be, or you must be seen to be, doing what is supposed to be done in order to send a very clear message. Because your recovery path, when I just look at your debt equity ratio, you are technically insolvent. But you understand, and I think the 2 billion that seeks to project your equity position now, that say you are on a recovery path, but you are more on a stabilization route, not yet even a recovery path. So in order to do that, you may need to send a very clear message in such a way that fosters don't continue to hemorrhage the institution. There was a question of whether this is a takeover or a curatorship, and you said it's something in between. It's not curatorship, it's not a bailout. I think we should look at it as an emergency intervention than trying to debate that particular matter now. I think it will help you as an institution, so that you've got some sort of comfort in terms of where Parliament is coming from on this matter.
legacy issue. It's like local government. You know, if local government spends a lot of time arguing about tenders in their meetings rather than to actually deliver services, you'll have protests. No, I would want to support your proposal that we should find a way to support you to come out of that situation as soon as possible, so that you can focus on your core business. Because, like I said at the beginning, that you need to hit the ground running. The time that has been lost will never be recovered in terms of the needs of our people on the ground. And the intervention as a financial institution, particularly as a development finance institution, has helped to begin to bring the bank to operate within the regulatory framework, of which most financial institutions internationally, in terms of the current global crisis, that they were established and designed in such a way that they could evade banking institutional regulations and therefore act as shadow banking. And I think partially, in the past, this bank has been operating within that space of shadow banking rather than in the real space. I thought I should just make this few comments and really thank you on behalf of the joint committees here, and that we support the proposal as made in the medium-term budget policy framework. I've done that on behalf of the committee. I've not followed procedures because of time, but I think it says it's going to sit well with all committee members. Thank you very much. The meeting is then adjourned until we call you back again.
Thank you, Chairperson.